Today's shiur is in Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin on the top line of the Amud, at the end of the line, with the words Amar Rav Kahana. Before we begin, let us offer a brief hakdama, a review of what was learned in the previous shiur, having to do with the klolim of what constitutes peiros that will have on them a kedusha shviyas. And the Gemara in yesterday's Daf, on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, gave us the key to this, from what the Torah uses the word, Negeya Perishvias La'achla, to be eaten. And the Gemara said, B'mi Shehanasai Ubi'urei Shavin. This refers to things that you eat, where the Hano, the gratification from what you're eating and the consumption of the food that is being eaten happens at the same time. But this excludes, says the Gemara, wood. Because by wood, the main hanah of wood is when it is burnt and it turns into coals. And then those coals are used to warm an oven for baking. So the hanah of baking takes place after the consumption of the wood. Wood would not be included in Kedushas Shviyas. However, we learned in yesterday's daf that there are various types of dyes. There are roots that are used for dyes, and there, when the pot in which the roots are being cooked up, as the roots are being consumed, they let out a color, and the garment that is in the wool or any other material that is in the pot at that time collects within it the dye, and that is how these roots are dyeing the garment. So it comes out in that case that the bi'uron and hanasan are shava, that the consumption and the gratification from that consumption is happening at the same time. So there would be a din of kedushas shemitah. Now, what about eitzim demashchan? Eitzim demashchan is, for example, pine wood, which is oily wood. And here, one would be able to have a different usage from the eitzim demashchan besides using the coals for baking. One could lift up a branch of the pine wood and use it as a torch, light the branch, and the nature of this wood is that it gives off a good light. A person could hold it in his hand, lift it up, and use it as a means of lighting up an area, and using it as an avuka, a torch. So here it would be the hanah and the biur, the consumption and the gratification, the pleasure would come at the same time. But yet we say that there would not be a din shmita on eitzim demashchan, because stam eitzim is lasaka. And these are the words with which Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph begins at the top of the Amud. Stam eitzim lasaka heinaimdim. So therefore, since regular wood in most cases is used as a type of fuel, and from there we're going to use the coals to bake, and the hanah and the beer does not come at the same time. So the tashmish, the function that you want to use the eitzim demashkan for, become bottle to the overall function of wood, and therefore there would not be a din shmita on eitzim demashkan, even if he wants to use it as a torch. We also learned that there are certain types of wood where there could be two equal purposes, and it would depend on why the person, for what purpose he gathered in this type of vegetation. Ale kadim, cane reeds, or ale gefanim, grapevines. They could be used either lakhton lachila for animal fodder. If so, then the beer and anoa by the animal eating it and consuming it would come at the same time. Then there would be a din shmit if that was his kavana when he collected the alikanim or aligafanim. However, if lakhton laitzim, if he collected them again to use it as fuel for fire, so then there would not be a din shmit because the hanoa and the beer would not be coming at the same time. Toisvis, top Toisvis, Divri Amaschel, Hochi Garcin Bekuntris, at the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Tosfos brings down the Gemara in Sukkah that lulavim, not on Sukkah, is when they're used for a mitzvah, but a lulav from a palm tree during the rest of the year. Most people used to use these lulavim as brooms, and there the hanah and the beer come at the same time, because while the person is sweeping, the pieces of the palm break off and are consumed while he's having the hanah of the sweeping, and then he has to get a new lulav. So therefore, that's considered that the hanah and the beer is at the same time. And there, in fact, by lulavim, where the primary function of lulavim the rest of the year, besides Sukkos, is for using it as a broom, so there it's considered hanas and b'yurim shava, and therefore there would be a din of kedusha shvius on these lulav. And based on this hagdama, we are now ready to begin our sugya. Amar Rav Kahana, eitzim ve'eitzim la'asaka tanoyi. He wants to say that eitzim la'asaka is a machlokes tanoy. So we must point out right here that there is a fundamental machlokes between Rashi in our sugya versus Rashi himself in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and Tosfos here, the top Tosfos, which we already referred to, who quotes that Rashi. And the question is, what is the correct girsa of Rav Kahana's words? The way we have it is the way Rashi in Sukkah has it. Not stam eitzim lahasaka is a machloikis tanoim, but ve eitzim lahasaka tanoihi. And we'll soon see what this means. However, it is clear from Rashi in our sugya that Rashi had the girsa, as he brings down in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem, that there are those who are goyros in our Gemara. Vistam eitzim lahasaka tanoihi, Rav Kahana wants to say, is a machloikis tanoim. It's interesting that here at the end of the long Rashi, Yatsu Mishra Uchvusa, around two-thirds down on the Amud of Rashi, Rashi says at the end of that long Rashi, V'yesh l'shonas acherim, there are other girsas here in our Gemara, V'zu shamati v'hogan, this is what I heard, and it is proper. And Rashi goes with the girsa of V'stam eitzim la'asaka. It's interesting that in Masechta Sukkah, on Daf Mem, Rashi says the opposite. The girsa, he says, should be the way we have it in our Gemara. The way we have it in our Gemara is not the way Rashi himself has it here in our sugya. We have it in our Gemara the way Rashi in Sukkah Daf Mem says is correct, and Tosfos here in the sugya. Eitzim da Sukkah Tanoihi. And Rashi says, V'ani shomatim raboisai, shehoyu garsim v'stam eitzim la'asaka ninu tanoihi, v'chein kastu b'chol ha'svarim. So it's written in all the Svarim, except here in our Gemara and Bava Kam, it's not. Says Rashi, interestingly, V'tarachti min urai b'chol tzidei shitas ha-Talmud li'yashra. I worked very hard from my early youth to try to understand this girsa according to the rest of the Talmud. Kefi Devrayim, according to their words of this girsa, which my rabbi, my teachers taught me, the Eini Yochel, I cannot answer it. And we'll see later what perhaps was bothering Rashi with this girsa. Umatzasi girsa zu b'sefer k'sav yodei shel Rabbeinu Gershom ben Yehuda, menuchasai kovid, may he rest in peace. Ubeseder Yeshua shel Rabbeinu Yitzchak bar Menachem kosov. We have this girsa also of stam eitzim lasaka ninu. The ein muga, it's not a 100% accurate girsa. V'chein nirbeinai, so it appears to me, Rashi and Sukkah, that this girsa of stam eitzim lasaka ninu is not correct, and the correct girsa is eitzim, without the word stam eitzim, eitzim lasaka tanoi, and that's exactly the way we have it here in our Gemara. Again, Rashi here in Bava Kama says that he likes stam eitzim. Rashi in Sukkah says he likes better eitzim. Let us first explain our Gemara according to the girsa that Rashi in our sugya has of the stam eitzim. The basic difference between the two girsois is that if you have the word stam eitzim lasaka, then our sugya today is a continuation of yesterday's sugya, and that which we said that when you have Eitzim l'moshchan, where the hano and the beer come at the same time, that's considered bottle to the normal usage of wood, where it doesn't come at the same time, and there will not be a din of Kedusha Shvius, even on pine wood, which is usually used for a torch, because it's, or it could be used for a torch, because normally wood is not used for a torch, it's used for fuel. It's not like the case of Lochton Lachila of Alikan of Ali Gefanim, where you could have two equal usages. Here, although pine wood could be used, it's not the normal usage. The normal usage is for fuel, and therefore we say Stam Eitzim Asakin Einayim Dim, and therefore there is no Kedusha Shvius even when the pine wood is used for fuel. That's if your Gaira Stam Eitzim Asakin. And Rav Kana wants to say that that itself is a machlokes tanoi. If your gairis eitzim lasaka tanoihi, then we back up one step. You took on as a given that la'ochla b'mishanasu b'rishavin, and that's why eitzim lahasaka would not have on them a din shviyas. Rav Kana is trying to say that that itself is a machlokes tanoi. We're not so sure if everyone holds that you, it's a requirement in Hilchos Shmita to have Hanasu Biuroi Shavin. That itself is a Machloikis Tanoi. According to the way Rashi is Goyris here in our Sugya, that's a given that we have a rule, La'ochla B'misha Nasoi Ubiuroi Shavin. The Machloikis is, do I say that I'm Mevatel, a usage of pine wood for a torch is bottled to the overall usage of wood, which is for fuel? The stam eitzim lasaka, I go with the normal usage of wood and not with the way you specifically want to use this wood. That is a machlokes tanoim. Do we say it's batel and there will not be a din shmita, or we say it's not batel and there will be a din shmita if you use the pine wood for a torch? So these are the two different ways. Let us progress first to explain Rashi in our sugya. Stam eitzim lasaka tanoi desanya. We will learn through the Gemara, the simple pshat, and then we will see how Rashi sees in this Gemara that it has to do with the question of Stam Eitzim Lahasaka of Bittul. Are you Mevatel one usage to a more primary usage or not? The Sanya. We learned in the Braise, Ein Moisrin Peiro Shvius. You cannot use Peiro Shvius. Loila Mishra. You cannot use it to soak flax. For many days, flax has to soak in water in order to loosen the fibers so that it can become pishtan linen. You cannot use a wine of shmita for that purpose. You cannot use the wine as a detergent to clean clothing. Rabbi Yossi says, you can use the fruits of Shvius. You can use wine from the grapes of Shvius for the specific purpose of soaking flax to become linen and of detergent to clean clothes. My time is the Rabbanu. What is the reason the Rabbanu who say it's prohibited? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, concerning Peiro Shvius Lachla, you can eat it. Of course, as Rashi points out, you can only eat it before it is manabir, before the time that you have to remove it from your house. Once this manabir comes, when it's kala l'chaya besada, if the chaya no longer has it in the field, then you have to get it out of your house, then you are usher to have hano. But we're speaking about before it is manabir, where you could. What kind of hano could you have? L'ochla to eat it, v'layla mishra. You cannot use it for soaking flax, lachla to eat it, v'layla chvusa, and not as a detergent. V'Rabbi Yossi Amr, Rabbi Yossi says that Amr Kra, the Pasuk says over there, lachem. So we can broaden it, not just for eating, but for other purposes as well, l'chol tzarchechem, whatever you need it for, and therefore, his opinion is that the wine of these peiros could be used l'mishru u'l'chvusa. V'Rabbanan nami yaksiv lachem. What does the Rabbanan do with the word lachem that Rabbi Yossi uses? So they say, yes, lachem adds more than just eating, but it has to be a pleasure, dumya de la achla. It has to be similar to l'achla. B'mi shahanasu b'yur shavin. The only kind of pleasure that you can have from Peiro Shvius is where the hano and the beer are equal. They come together at the same time. Yatza mishra chusa, this will exclude mishra chusa shahanasan achar b'yur, and that the hano takes place, as Rashi explains, 3 or 4 days after the consumption. Because once the flax is put, or the dirty clothing is put into the wine becomes unedible. One will not be able to drink it anymore. And yet the hanoh of getting these clean clothes or of getting the flax to turn into linen into Pishtun will take 3 or 4 days. So the Hanoah of these Peiros comes much later than the consumption, and that kind of pleasure cannot be derived from these Peiros Shviyas, only what's similar to Lachlo, where the consumption and Hanoah take place at the same time. So what I just want to point out, which is very negay here in the sugya, is that before on Kuf Alf Amud Beis we had the svara of Hanoah son of Biurin Shavin concerning the chalois of the din of Kedusha Shviyas. Do these peiros, does this wood receive on it a din of Shmita of Kedusha Shviyas? Here we're using this svara of Hanoah son of Biurin Shavin concerning peiros which have been designated for Shmita. They do have on them a Kedusha Shmita. Now we want to know, what kind of pleasure can one derive up till the Zman Abir from these items? And we say it has to be such a pleasure, Dum Yitachila, where Hanasan Ubiurin Arshavin. We'll come back to this later in a few minutes. Continues the Gemara, Vir Rabbi Yossi Nami Yoksiv L'Ochla. What does Rabbi Yossi do with L'Ochla, where L'Chari we should say Hanasan has to be Shava L'Biurin? Amrlach, he'll tell you, no. I don't believe in this Hanasan Ubiurin Shavin. Hahumi boyle lekadasani, I need it for the following brice. Adasani la'ocha v'loyle melugma. You cannot use it for medication, a plaster that's used for dressing for a wound. You cannot use the peirishvias. Ato imer la'ocha v'loyle melugma. You say la'ocha v'loyle and not for melugma. Einer la'ocha v'loyle kvus. So maybe it's to be mind what the Tanakhama said, that you cannot use the wine for a detergent. Kishu Aimer Lachem, says Rabbi Yossi, when the Torah expanded beyond Achilu to Lachem, you can use it for all your needs. Hare Kvus Aimer, Kvus is included, that you could use it as a detergent. Hamani Mekam Lachla, what do I use the word Lachla for? Lachma Lemelugma, that I cannot use it for a dressing for a wound. So the Gemara says, but you're not answering the question. Ma Raisa, L'Rabisa Kvus Alaitis Tamelugma. What is the logic that I'm going to use Lachla to add kvusa, and I'm going to use lachem to add kvusa, and lachla to exclude melugma. Maybe I should do just the opposite. The answer, says the Gemara, is marbani is a kvusa. I add kvusa from lachem sheshava b'choladim, because that is equal for everybody. Everybody wants to have clean clothes, so that the Torah permitted for peiros shviyas. Who might say, "I'm a melugma." I exclude melugma. She'ein sheshava b'choladim, as Rashi says, the bandage, the dressing, is used for a wound for a chayla, but not for everybody else. So that is excluded. Peiros shviyas cannot be used for that. Kimana Azla Hadasanya, according to who the Tanakhama or Rabbi Yossi does the following brice ago. We learned lachav lemelugma, that you cannot use it for a dressing. Lachla v'loy lazil, if you cannot sprinkle wine around your house as an air freshener. Lachla v'loy lasis meno piktoizin, you cannot use it for a medicine that causes a person to vomit. Kiman, who is this brisa going like? The Gemara says it's going like Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi says the only thing la'achal excludes is something that's not shavu l'chol nefesh. So the bandage, the dressing, is only for a chola. The ziluf, air freshener, is only, Rashi says, for a pedantic person. Adam me'unag u'me'udan. The vomiting, obviously, is not for all people. So therefore, that you cannot use perishvias for. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the Ikra Rabbanan, because if this price was going according to the Rabbanan, Ikonami Mishro Kusa, I would also exclude using it as a detergent or using it to soak flax in it. This is the sugya according to Rashi. Now, Rashi explains, how do we see from this machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan that, according to the Gears of Rashi here, Stam Eitzim Lasak Einoimdim, this is a Machalikis Tanoim according to Rav Kana. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi agrees that you need Hanoah and Beer Shoven, both in what gives the Paris a Chalois Din Shvius, the Kedusha of Shvius, and also once Paris have a Din Shvius, what Hanoah can I have from it? That Rabbi Yossi agrees to the Chachamim, to the Tanakhama. The reason Rabbi Yossi permits Mishra Chusa, which he learns from the Pasuk Lachem, according to the way Rashi explains it here in the Sugya, is because he says that I, based on my Machshava, If I, at the time of collecting it, I decided, you know what I'm going to collect it for? I'm going to collect this wine because I want to clean some clothes, or I want to have flax soak in it to make pishtun. So with my machshava, I can turn around something that has on it a din of Kedusha Shvius, because regular wine is hano ubir shavin. You get the hano when you consume the wine. I can change that into something, lekula, according to Rabbi Yossi, that I'm going to use it lemishra, which is not at the same time, where there won't be a din shmita. Memela, if there's no din shmita, memela, I'm allowed to do it. The chachamim hold that we don't go after your particular machshava. We go what's normally. Normally, wine is used for consumption for drinking purposes, where it is shava. And if it is shava, there's a din shmita on it. If there's a din shmita on it, then you cannot use it for something that's hano and beer is not at the same time. So Rashi says that if this is the understanding of the machloikis here between Rabbi Yossi and the Tana Kama in this brisa, then says Rav Kahana, that will have an effect on the case of Eitzim L'Moshkan as well. Because according to the Tana Kama, that my machshava does nothing, and therefore in the case of wine, l'chumra, I will not be able to do Mishra Kvusa. So now in the case of Eitzim L'Moshkan, I will be able to use it as Eitzim L'Moshchan. Why there will not be a din shmita on it? Because I have to go after the primary usage, and here it will come out of Kula. According to Chachamim, just like by wine it's a Chumra, I cannot do Mishra, by Eitzim it's a Kula. Since Stam Eitzim are Lasaka, then that includes even Eitzim, which are used for a torch, because I have to go after the primary purpose. So therefore, it'll be mutter, there's no Kedusha Shmita. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, who is makel by Mishru Kvusa, because my machshava can take it off the tree for a purpose that's not shava, like Mishru Kvusa, where that noah comes a few days after the consumption. So if I apply that logic to Eitzim of Mashcha, then I will say my machshava can make Eitzim of Mashcha into a torch, which is Hanoah and beer at the same time, and therefore there will be a din shmita, and therefore it will have on it Kedushas Shmita. So this is the way Rashi learns in the sugya. The problem that Tosfos raises on Rashi's pshat, and perhaps this is what was bothering Rashi in Sukkah, where Rashi says, all my life I was trying since my youth to say a correct pshat with this girsa, and it didn't work out. The problem is that Rashi is learning that really Rabbi Yossi also holds that you need Hano Ubir Shava. But Rabbi Yossi holds, my Machshava can change it into something where the Hano and the Beer is not Shava, and therefore there will not be any Din Kedusha Shvius on this wine. And therefore I can use it, if there's no Kedusha Shvius, I can do whatever I want with it. But that's not what Pashup shot in the Pasuk and in the Chazal is here. The Pashup shot is, La'achla, you're going to eat the Perish Shvius. The Perish Shvius have a permitted function until the Zman Abir of eating it. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not Perish Shvius that have a permitted function, but rather these are not Perish Shvius. Because my Machshava can say that this doesn't have on it a din of Kedusha Shvius. That's not the stump shot in the Pasuk. And therefore, Rashi and Sukkah and Tois over here have the girsa, not stam eitzim lasaka inoim dim, but eitzim lasaka tanoihi. In other words, according to Rashi and Sukkah and Tois in the sugya of stam eitzim lasaka inoim dim ended before the words of Amar Rav Kana. If you take on that there is such a criteria of biurin v'hanasin shavin, then Eitzim L'Moshchan have the din of regular Eitzim, that there is no Kedusha Shmita on it. What Rav Kahana is saying is that that principle is itself a Machloikas Tanoim, whether we say such a thing that you need by Shvius Hanoah Ubiurin Shava. The Rabbanan holds you do need it, and Rabbi Yossi holds you don't need it. And I'd like to point out that according to the Rabbanan, it makes a difference In what constitutes Shemitah? That if it's not at the same time, then it doesn't have a din Shemitah on it. And even something that has a din Shemitah on it, it makes a difference that you can only use it la'achla for hanah ubir shavin. If you're now going to use this thing that has on a Kedusha Shemitah for something that's not hanah ubir shavin, you will not be allowed to use it. So it makes a difference both in the chaloshem of Shemitah, and it makes a difference in the function of what you can use the hanah of Shemitah for. According to Rabbi Yossi, the way Tosis and Rashi and Sukkah are learning, there the Hanoah Ubiur and Shavit don't make a difference at all b'nageya to Hilchah Shemitah, and therefore even something that the Hanoah and the Biur is not at the same time has a din of Shemitah, and something that has a din of Shemitah you could use it for any Hanoah, whether the Hanoah and the Biur is Shavit or whether the Hanoah and Biur is not Shavit. So that criteria of Hanoah and Biur Shavit makes no nafka minna at all. And based on this, let us analyze the din of Yayin, and let us analyze the din of Eitzim Lasaka. Let's start with Yayin. According to the Chachamim, where it makes a difference, so Mimela, if we have wine, Stam wine is, the Hano beers at the same time. So there is a din of Kedusha Shemitah on it. Now the question is, what can I use the wine for? So we say the function has to be Achila Hano beer shoven. You want to use it Lemishru Kvusa, it's not Hano beer shoven. You cannot use it. It makes a difference. According to Rabbi Yossi, Yayin, of course, has a din Shemitah on it. Yain would have a din shmita even if it wasn't Hanoah b'Yir Shavah. Certainly if it's Hanoah b'Yir Shavah, it has a din shmita on it. Now the question is, you want to use it for Mishru Kvusa, which is a function where the Hanoah is after the beer? According to Rabbi Yossi, that makes no nafka minna. The Torah is telling you lachem to include even such a thing. The only thing we're remayit is something that's not shava l'chol nefesh, as we had the examples in the Gemara. So that's why by Yayin, Lemishra will come a nafka minna between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbanan, it does have a din shmita on it, and it's usser. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it has a din shmita on it, but it's mutter, because you could use it for any function. Now let's analyze Eitzim LaSaka, according to, not Eitzim LaMashchan, Eitzim LaSaka, according to Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, will come out that according to both shitas, you could use Eitzim LaSaka. According to the Rabbanan, you could use Eitzim LaHasaka, there's no din shmita on it. So you can, there's no problem with Eitzim LaSaka. And according to Rabbi Yossi, there is a din shmita on Eitzim, even though their main purpose is LaSaka, and it doesn't come at the same time, because coming at the same time, according to Rabbi Yossi, is not a criteria legabe Hilchah Shemitah. So therefore, Eitzim LaSaka do have a din Kedusha Shemitah. Now the question is, you want to use it for HaSaka, and it's not at the same time? Rabbi Yossi Shita is that you can have Yain for Mishru Kvusa. You can have Eitzim LaSaka, even if it's not at the same time. It plays no nafka minna by having it shava or not shava. So it comes out, Eitzim LaSaka, according to Rabbanan, won't have a din shmita and it's mutter. According to Rabbi Yossi, it has a din shmita and it's also mutter, because you could use it for any function. The difference will be, does it have on it the din of Hilchah Shmita? For example, how long will it be mutter? According to the Rabbanan and the Tanakhama here, it'll be mutter forever, because before the beer, after the beer, there's the beer as in terms of when you have to get it out of your house plays no role, because it doesn't have a din shmita on it. According to Rabbi Yossi, yes, Eitzim LaSaka is mutter. That function is mutter, but it's a function of Kedusha Shmita. If it's a function of Kedusha Shmita, then it's only permitted koidem zman abir, before the chiv is to get it out of your house. And Mimela, according to this understanding, the Rashi in Sukkah and Rashi over here, there will also be a big nafka minna, for example, in Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, Yayin l'mishru l'chvusa is mutter. But why is it mutter? According to Rashi in our sugya, it's mutter because my machshava can be individualized for me, and I can decide that I want to have these fruits plucked for kvusa. And if so, I'm having it plucked. My machshava makes a difference for a hanah and a beer, which will not be shava. Therefore, Rashi learns there's no din kedusha shmita on it. And therefore, when Rabbi Yossi says mutter kvusa and mishra, it's mutter even after zman beer, according to Rashi in our sugya, because the pshat according to Rashi is there's no din shmita on these fruits. However, according to Rashi in Sukkah and Tosis in our sugya, Rabbi Yossi's heter is that there is a din kedusha shmita on it. La achla, but I hold la achla includes even if the hanah is not at the same time. Only thing that's nismayit is something that's not shava la koil. So memela ain echanami, it's mutter la mishra, but it'll have on it a din kedusha shmita, and memela will not be mutter la achriz manabir. That will be the nafka minute, the way Rashi learns in Arsa again, the way Rashi learns in Mesechta Sukkah. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of our Mishnah. We learned if someone hired a craftsman to dye some material red, and he dyed it black, or he hired him to do it shachar. We have a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says noisen loy demei tzimroi. According to Rav Meir, since the craftsman was mishana from his instructions, he is considered like a gazlan, and shinui, a change, is kone, and therefore the craftsman has been kone it, and he either does one of two things. Either he returns the value of the initial wool that was given to him, the initial material, to the person who hired him, or they let the deal go through, and the person who hired him takes back the material that was dyed with the wrong color, and the craftsman keeps the money that they had made up that the owner of the material would pay. That is the sheet of Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, and here's where our Gemara comes in to explain Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, im hashrach yoyser al yitzia, if what the material became valued more is more than the yitzia, the costs, for the expenses, then noisen lo yasei yitzia. Then he pays, the owner of the wool pays the craftsman just for the expenses. Vima yitzia yasei rel shuach, and if the expenses are more than the amount that it became valued more, noisen lo yasei shuach, then he gives him the shuach. His hand is Elyon, high, and the craftsman who was Mishane is on the low end. In fact, the way the Marsha explains there in the Sugya on the Mishnah, that there are three choices. He can either pay for the Yitzhiya, the expenses, or for the Shevach, how much it became valued more, or he can pay the initial Schiris. Whichever one of these three is a minimum payment, he can choose to pay for this change that the craftsman made. This is the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And now we have a simon, samach beis nun, and this stands for a middle letter of the three amoraim that we're going to discuss in the following story. Yosef Rav Yosef, this is the samach of Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was sitting, Achari de Rab Abba, this is the bays of Rab Abba. He was sitting behind Rab Abba, and they were both sitting listening to a shir, Kamei de Rav Huna. This is the nun of Rav Huna's name. Rav Huna was giving the shir, and in front of him was seated Rab Abba, and behind Rab Abba was Rabbi Yosef. The Yosef Rav Huna v'kamar, and Rav Huna said to Psakim. He said, Halachic Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, then in a certain machlokes, which Gemara will explain what that machlokes is, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha against the Chachamim, the Halachic Rabbi Yehuda, and concerning our Mishnah, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rav Meir. When Rav Yosef heard these psakim from Rav Huna, Ahedrinu Rabbi Yosef Lape, Rabbi Yosef turned his face away with an angry face. He disagreed with what Rav Huna had said. The Madura Basra says that Rabbi Yosef actually said this, and the Torah Reish Chaim says that he didn't say what we are about to learn in the Gemara that he said, but rather this was indicative on his face that he was upset with what Rav Huna had paskened, but he didn't express that anger. Omar, and the cause, either he expressed this or this is what was the cause of his anger, Omar, Bishlam, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Itzrich. The first psak that we go like Rabbi Yeshua, we need it. Because Salkadat Rahman, I would have thought, Yachid v'Rab Malach Karabim. Since Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is arguing against the Chachamim, the Halach is always like the Chachamim, and therefore it's a chiddish to tell me that the Halach in the case that we're going to have in a moment is going like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So that I understand why Rav Huna had to say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Kamash Malon, Halacha ki Yachid. Rav Huna had to tell us that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, like the Yachid. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Mai. Now the Gemara tells us what in fact is the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. The Sunday we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Aymer, Milva Bishtar, ain't the front man. This, as Rashi explains, concerns the Halacha that one should not pay a goy. One should not allow a goy to pay up a debt that he owes to a Jew right before the holiday for his avodah zarah, because when a person is able to pay back a loan, he feels relieved, he feels in a state of joy, and he gives praise to his avodah zarah. So it'll come out that the Jew, by accepting the payment of the loan, he's causing the goy to give praise to his avodah zarah. Therefore, the Chachamim Shita is that whether it's a milva b'shtar, whether the Jew has a document to prove that the goy owes him money, or whether it's a milva al peh, was a verbal milva, there's nothing written down, and he doesn't have any proof that the goy owes him money. Either way, the Chachamim hold that ain nefron mehen. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha disagrees with this, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, by milva bishtar, ain nefron ben. Wait till after his holiday is over. During the holiday, he should be in a state of anxiety still and no joy that he has not yet repaid the loan. Let him have the loan on his head. However, milva peh, if he comes to you right before his holiday to repay a verbal loan, nefron men, we do accept payment, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Why? Because perhaps if we don't accept payment after his holiday, when the Jew wants to collect it, the Gentile will say, prove to me that I owe you the money. So therefore, if I have a chance to get this money before the Gentile's holiday, I should take it because I'm saving, I'm matzel miyadam. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, and that was the chiddush of Rav Huna, even though it's a yachid against the rabbin. Ella, what Rabbi Yosef was upset about, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, lamali. Why did Rav Huna have to tell us that the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda? We know that without Rav Huna telling it to us, because we have a rule, machlokas v'achakach stami. It's whenever you have a Mishnah that has a machlokas, and later you have another Mishnah that says the opinion of one of the people who were arguing, umachloikis v'achakach stam, in a case where you have an argument, as we do here, of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, and later we're going to have a stam mishnah which is like Rabbi Yehuda, halacha kistam, the halacha is like the stam. So we know that without Rav Huna, why did Rav Huna have to tell to us? What do I mean? Says Rabbi Yosef, machloikis bava kam, the machloikis we just had here in bava kama concerns Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which is the words of our Mishnah. Let's spoil a adam v'tzavei shachar, or shachar v'tzavei adam. Ramei, I'm a nice line to make tzimmer. As we explained, Ramei's shita is that he has to, the craftsman has to give back the value of the material of the wool that was given to him. But he's kind of the colored material, which he colored with the wrong color. He dyed it with the wrong dye. That's a shita of Rameir, because he holds that he has a din like a gazlan, and shinui, a change, is kona to the gazlan. That's a shita of Rameir. Rav Yehuda Aymer, im ashrach yoyisrael yitzia, noisle etzay yitzia, that the owner of the wool always has to pay the least amount, and if the expenses were more, if the profit, if it became assessed more, that was more than the expenses, he only has to pay the expenses. Vimay yitzia, if the expenses came out to be yisera al shavach, if it came out more than what the thing actually became worth more, noisle etzay shavach, then all he has to pay is the shavach. So that's Machlokes Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. But V'sasam b'bava metziah. If you go to Masechta Bava Metziah, there you find a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. It's none. We learned there in the mishnah on daf ayin vav amid aleph. Kala mishan, whoever changes yadi ala tachtoina, he loses his hands on the bottom. V'chala chayzboy, another halacha, whoever reneges on his commitment between a worker and the boss who hired him. He always comes out losing. So we don't mention Rab Meir Shita there. We only mention Rab Yehuda Shita, that Kol Mishana Yare Ala Tachtoina, that the craftsman who changed to a different dye, he loses, and the owner of the wool only has to pay the least of the shevach or the yitzia or the initial schiris, whatever is less. So the Gemara says, now we understand why Rabbi Yosef was upset. Rav Huna felt that I do have to say that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought, ain't say to the Mishnah, that there is no order to the Mishnah, as Tosfos explains, that today we do have a Seder, but it could be that Rebbe, when he taught it to his Talmidim, and when he teaches it to his Talmidim, Rebbe is indicating who he holds like. That's the crucial factor. Was it at that time a machloikas v'achakach stam? It could be that when Rebbe taught it, it was actually a stam v'achakach machloikas. The stam v'achakach machloikas, he really, maybe it was the first Mishnah said it's stam. And then later we have a machloikas remain rebuta. Could be that Rebbe at the end, you always go after the end. In the end, in the final analysis, Rebbe didn't paskin. He said it's machloikas rebuta and Rebbe Meir. So that's why Rav Huna had to spell out clearly that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yosef, back to Rabbi Yosef, if so, why is Rabbi Yosef upset? If you're going to come with this idea that you always have to figure out, not the way we have the Seder as we have it today in the Mishnayos, but rather the way that Rebbe taught it to his Talmidim, so any case where I have a case of machloikis or achach stam, I'll never know how to paskin like the stam, because maybe in fact Rebbe taught the stam before the machloikis. And we know that there is a rule that machloikis or achach stam, you go like the stam, but according to you, if you say ain't seder l'mishnah, then that doesn't fit with the klal of machloikis or achach stam, that we go like the stam. Maybe the stam was learnt to the Talmidim by Rebbe as a stam v'achach machloikis. V'stam v'achach machloikisi. Back to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, I agree with you, of course, that there is a klal in Shas of machlokes v'achach stam, that we go like the stam. But what you have to know when you say that klal. Rav Huna, ki loy amrinin ain't seder l'mishnah, double negative. When don't we say ain't seder l'mishnah? In other words, when do we say yesh seder l'mishnah? Of course there's a seder, that's b'chad ha-mesechta. If it's in one mesechta, then we say that that's the way Rebbe taught it to his Talmidim, and that's the way he codified it in the Seder of Mishnayos, in that one Mesechta, and if you have a Machloik, Zerachach Stam, then we go like the Stam. Avil betray Mesechta, it's Amrinid. By two Mesechtas, we will say that ain't Seder L'Mishnah. For example, if you have here Bava Kama and Bava Metziah, in Bava Kama it's a Machloikas, Bava Metziah it's Stam. Maybe, in fact, when Rebbe taught it to his Talmidim, he taught it as a Stam first. He taught Bava Metziah first, and later he taught the Bava Kama, where it's a machlokas. Then you don't say the rule of machlokas achastam, that law is like the stam. There you say, ain't seder l'misha. That's why Rav Huna had to come along and say that in fact, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and we can't go buster the klal of machlokas achastam, since in two different mesachtas. That's why I have to tell you that in fact, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yosef, back to Rabbi Yosef. So why was Rabbi Yosef upset? Because kulin and hazik in chad mesach. Rabbi Yosef considered all of Nezikin as one large Mesechta, which this is the way Rebbe taught it to his Talmidim. And it was only later that Rebbe split it up into the three Bavas. Bava means a gate. You have Bava Kama, the first gate, you have Bava Metziah, the middle gate, and you have Bava Basra, the last gate, the final gate. But originally, this was all one Mesechta. In fact, you have a Machloikis. What constitutes the klal of Kulin Ezekin Chodem Asachti? The Yad Malachi in Simon Shin Lamed Ches in the name of the Rav Shri Rigoin says, as we mentioned in the Gemara, this refers to Bava Kama, Bava Metzi, and Bava Basra. However, the other Masechtas of Nezikin, for example, Shavuos, Makkos, Sanhedrin, they, in fact, are not part of this rule of Kula Nezikin Chara Masechti. However, the Taisus Yontiv in his Agdama too, Nezikin, in the name of the Rambam, and the Yad Malachi says that in the name of the Ritva, that in fact, Kula Nezikin Chara Masechti refers to the entire Seder Nezikin, as we have it, originally it was all one Masechta. But certainly Nageya, Bava Kama, and Bava Metzia, it is considered one Masechta, and therefore Rabbi Yosef said we would have the Klal of Machlokes V'Achach Stam. This is the way Rabbi taught it to his Talmidim. This is the way he put it down in the Seder Mishnayos. I don't need Rav Huna to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because I will apply here the rule of Machlokes V'Achach Stam, that the halacha is like the Stam, like Rabbi Yehuda. V'Iboy Seima, I'll tell you a different terrace. Even if I won't say Kul Nezik L'Chodem Sechtehi. And we could theoretically say Ain Seder L'Mishnah, but I'll still prove to you that we don't need Rav Huna's Psak, Mishum Diktani L'Gabi Hilchas Psikta, because if you look in Bava Metzia, we have over there the Mishnah speaking about a worker who reneges on a commitment to his boss. So we say, Kol HaChoizer Boy Yare Al Tachtoina. And then we throw in another Psak Halacha, a final decided Halacha, of Kol HaMishana Yare Al Tachtoina. So as Rashi explains, since that Kol HaMishana Yare Al Tachtoina, which is Nageya, our sugya here of the die that was changed by the craftsman, but that has nothing to do with the case in Bava Metzia of Kol HaChoizer Bo Yare Al Tachtoina, yet it was put into that Mishnah, that indicates that Rebbe found it the right place to codify the final Piske Halacha, and therefore that indicates that Rebbe was going like Rebbe Yehuda, and we don't need Rav Huna to say that the laws are right, like Rebbe Yehuda. Tosfos has a different shot, that Piske Halacha means the way it was written by Rebbe. Rebbe made it very emphatically clear that Kol HaMishana Yodei Al HaTachtoina, Kol HaChoizer Boi Yodei Al HaTachtoina, by saying it in such an emphatic way, Rebbe was indicating that this is halacha psuka, it's a decided halacha, that in fact halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it wasn't necessary for Rav Huna to tell it to us. And that's what the Gemara says, Mishum diktona lo gabi hilchas psikta, kol ha-mishana yodei al tachtoina, v'chol ha-choyzer bo yodei al tachtoina, Rabbi Yosef turned his face away, being upset that he didn't feel Rav Huna had to explain this. Tana Rabbanon, our rabbis taught, if somebody gives money to his messenger, and he gives money to a broker that he should buy for him wheat, and he expects the wheat to go up in price and he's going to make profit, but the broker didn't listen. And he bought instead barley. Or the Baal Hamois gave over to the broker Sa'irin. Ruvain gave over money to Shimon to buy Sa'irin. V'lokamem chitin. Instead, Shimon bought chitin. So now, Tanya Chara, we learned in one brisa, in Pichesu, Pichesu Loi. If, in fact, they went down in price, the loss is to Shimon. Vim, hoi siru, hoi siru loi. And if they went up in price, the gain is to Shimon. V'tani Chara, we learned in a different brisa, in Pichesu, Pichesu Loi. This is the same, that if there is a loss, it goes to Shimon. Vim, hoi siru, but if they made profit, hoi siru, it goes to the middle. They split the profit. The Rishonim speak out that they split the profit 50-50 if that's the deal they made up. It will depend. If the regular percentage would be a quarter or a third, that the broker would only get a third or a quarter, then they would split it up using those proportions. The Bryce is just saying that the profit gets split up. So we have a stira. The first Bryce says that the entire profit goes to Shimon, the broker, if he was Mishana. And here in the second Bryce it says that even if he was Mishana, they split the profit. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, like Kasha, this is not a Kasha. Har Rab Meir, Har Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And now he elaborates. Har Rab Meir, this is Rab Meir of our Mishnah, the Amar Shini Kaina, who says that in case of the red dye and the black dye, that the craftsman who was Mishana is Kona. And as it says in the Mishnah, if he's Kona, then he gets the profit or the loss. He will have to return, in our case over here, the broker will have to return all the money that Reuven gave him to invest. V'ador Rabbi Yehuda, there where it says in the second brisa that they split the profit, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Dormer, who says in our Mishnah that Shinui ain't a koina, he says always Yodai ala tachtoina. So if, in fact, there is a loss, so then who loses it? The broker, Shimon, who didn't listen to the instructions. And if there is a profit, since Shinui is not koina, so he doesn't get all the profit, then in fact he has to split the profit with Reuven. Now the Pnei Yeshua points out a very important yesod here in the Gemara, that really if you compare the two shinuis, the shinui of the dye and the shinui here of the wheat and the barley, it's not the same kind of shinui. The shinui of the dye is a change in the effect on the wool, that instead of black, it's red. Instead of red, it's black. However, here, the profit will be the same. They anticipated $1,000 profit on wheat, and instead they made $1,000 profit on barley. So there's no change in any color of a garment, there, and the profit, the dollar bills that they're going to get, remain exactly the same. So the Pnei Yeshua says, how do you compare the two cases? Must be that the point of our mission is not because he made a change in the color of the garment, but rather that he didn't listen to the instructions. And Rav Meir's shita is that just as a gazlan who makes a shinui in an item, shinui's koine, and he has to give it back to the owner the original value of what he stole, so too here, where the craftsman Shimon was mishana from the instructions of the Baal Hamois Reuven, so Shimon has to return, since he changed, so he's koina, but he has to return the initial investment, in the case of our Mishnah, the value of the tzemer, and in the case of Chit Nesorim, he has to give him back the money that he invested. So it's not the point of the different color, but rather the change of instructions. Rav Meir holds a change of instruction is tantamount to a case of a gazlan who makes a change in the chafetz that he stole, and shinui is koina. It is on that point that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that by a regular gazlan, shinui is koina. What he disagrees on is this shinui of changing the instructions, that should have a halacha like a gazlan, and that shinui should also be koina. On that, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So now, before we proceed to the next piece of Gemara, we have to understand the difference between the two terutzim. It comes out that, first let's understand, we didn't get to Rabbi Lozzi yet. Let's understand what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, the second brisa that says they split the profit, and Rabbi Yehuda holds, shinui is not koina, and therefore all the profit does not go to Shimon. He splits it between Reuven and Shimon. But now we're going to have a second teretz. Maskevla Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer doesn't like the teretz of Rabbi Yochanan. Mimai, from where do you know to compare the Mishnah to the case of the Chitim and Sarim? Dilma Atkan Lekomer Rabbi Meir. You want to say to Rabbi Meir holds Shinui Koina in the Mishnah, and he holds Shinui Koina in the Bryce. Maybe when does Rabbi Meir hold Shinui Koina? That's El Bimini Dechazel El Gufi. That's something that a person needs for his own body. He wants to wear a certain kind of sweater, a black sweater, and instead the person made him a red sweater. He doesn't want to have a red sweater. So such a shinui, we say that the craftsman Shimon is a gazlan, and he's koina. He has to give back the value of the material to Reuven, the Baal Hamois. Avol ischayra. But when it came to an investment, where the main goal of an investment is to make money, the Reuven has no special love for wheat. The only interest that he has in wheat is that he thinks that will get him $1,000 profit based on his projections. In fact, the broker got the same $1,000 profit by purchasing barley. Perhaps Avol Ischayra Layom, or perhaps Rav Meir would agree that that's not called a shinui, and we don't say shinui coin in that case. So how do you want to say that the Braisa that says split is going according to Rabbi, that the Braisa here that says that Shimon gets all the profit is going like Rabbi Meir? Perhaps Rabbi Meir would not agree in such a case. Elam Rabbi Lazar, Hava Rabbi Meir. Be'emes, these two Braises is not a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Both Braises are going to Rabbi Meir. But the circumstances are different. V'loi kasha, there's no stira. Kan lachila, kan l'schayra. The Braise that said that the craftsman, that the broker gets all the profit, that's speaking about where the Baal Hamois gave him the money to purchase wheat. He wants to have bread made out of wheat. He doesn't want to have bread made out of barley, which is a food for an animal. So if the broker was Mishana, so then Ein Echanami, such a Shinui, Rab Meir holds, he's Koina, and he has to give back the initial money that Reuven gave him. But here where it says that if it went up in value, they split the that which became worth more, kan l'schayra, here in fact it was an investment, and we're going to go with our svara that that's not called a shinui, according to Rab Meir, and if it's not called a shinui, then Rab Meir is not going to hold shinui koina, because there is no shinui. He didn't make a shinui. He was given a mission to make money, and he made money. He didn't do it the way that the Reuven said, but if he did the shlichus of Reuven to make money. If in fact he loses money, so then as Rashi points out, he can say, the third line of Rashi on the top of the Yom, Delav Lav Ase Shadri. I didn't make you a shliach as a detriment to me. So therefore we punish you that if it goes down in value, you suffered a whole loss. Yari ala tachtoina. But if in fact it makes the profit that I had wanted from the wheat and instead you got it from the barley, then it's no shinri. You are not koinet shimon and we will split the profits. So now, let's analyze the difference, because that'll be the next piece of Gemara, between the two truths. And it comes out we have two ways to understand here. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he says that the Braisa, which says they split the profits, is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Shinui is not koine in this case, where someone made a change in not listening to the instructions that he was given. So it's not koine. And therefore, if there's a profit, they both split it. The only way Reuven wouldn't get a part of the profits is if it's kind of to Shimon. But since there's no, since Rav Yehuda holds this kind of shinui is not kind of, so yes, there is a shinui, but it's not kind of to Shimon, and they split the profits. However, according to Rab Lazar's pshat, this Bryce that says split is going according to Rab Meir, but it's going according to Rab Meir in the case of Schaira, not Lachila, and since at the bottom line he made a profit, therefore it's not considered that he made a shinui. Not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's a shinui, but shinui is not koina. But rather, according to Rabbi Meir, there's no shinui at all. So based on this difference between the two trutzim, now let's see the next Gemara. Mechaiko lab Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, which is west of Bavel, which is called Marava, they laughed. And the Masar Shas points out that this is taken from a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf, Yudzayinama base, where the Gemara there lists certain expressions who the person is, we refer to when we use such an expression. And the Gemara says, wherever you have Machaika, Allah b'marav, they laughed at this. In Marav, it refers to Rabbi Yossi b'Rab Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi b'Rab Chanina laughed at this teretz. Which teretz? He laughed at the teretz of Rabbi Yochanan Alibi to Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rabbi Yochanan wanted to understand that they divide the profit, that it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, he laughed at that. Why? V'chimi ideal l'bal chitin. Who informed the Baal Chitin, Sheyakne Chitin LeBaal Mois, that he should be Makne the Chitin to the owner of the money? So as Rashi explains this source of laughter, he explains as follows. If I say that the splitting of the profit, that price is going according to Rab Meir, as Rab Lazar explained, so then I understand, because Rab Meir holds that that is not a case of shinui. If it's not a case of shinui, you're my shliach, and you didn't change anything, you made me a profit, and therefore the original deal stands that we are going to split the profits. I will supply you with the money. We're going into like a partnership. I'm going to give you the money. You're going to do the work. And we're going to split 50-50 or 75-25, whatever the deal is. But how do I get, I, Reuven, the owner of the money, how do I get my share of the profits? Because since you didn't make a shindui, so you are my shliach. If you are my shliach, then the person who is now giving you the chitim, he's maknit to you, but he's also maknit to me. Even if the Baal HaMoiz doesn't know for whom you are purchasing these chitim, it doesn't matter because shluch ha-shalotim kamaisai. So it's considered as if you are purchasing it for me and he is being maknit to me through you who are my shliach. However, if we're going to say it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says there was a shinui. So if there was a shinui, you can't say you're my shliach. I didn't make you a shliach to do different than what I'd wanted. You're a shliach if you follow instructions. If you don't follow instructions, if you make a shinui, then you're not my shliach. If you're not my shliach, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda holds that shinui is not koine to Shimon. But in what way does Reuven get to split the profits? Because who was makna these chitim to Reuven? The das of the makna, the baal hachitim, was to the shliach. He doesn't know about Reuven, and in fact, Shimon is not representing Reuven. We can't say Shlucha Shalom Kamaisa. And Tosis understands this kasha in one of two ways, that both ways are that Reuven shouldn't wind up with any of the prophets, but one way is to understand it, that perhaps it all goes to Shimon, because the Baal HaChitim was maknet to Shimon, and Shimon now, based on a shinui, has nothing to do with Reuven. Or that we should say that the whole thing is a mekach tos. If you're doing it for Shimon, and Shimon was misrepresenting you, you're giving it to Shimon, and Shimon is doing it for Reuven, but he's misrepresenting Reuven, so the whole thing is considered a mekach tos, and therefore, the whole transaction should be nullified, and the chitim should go back to the owner of the chitim, and the money should go back to the owner of the money, and but they shouldn't, Reuven shouldn't share in the profits. The Gemara can't understand. Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina laughed in Eretz Yisrael. How could I say Rabbi Yochanan's pshat that it's going to contribute and he should wind up with some of the money? Maskif lo Rav Shmuel Bar Sasrati Ihochi. If so, afilu chit vechit namiloi. So why, if I in fact, why is your question only by he sent them for Se'orin and he wound up with Chitin, that the Baal HaChitin didn't give it over to the Baal HaMoiz? I have a problem even with Chitin and Chitin also, because he, the Baal HaChitin, doesn't know about the Baal HaMoiz. Amar Rabavua says, no, that's good. Shani chitim v'chitim l'shulcha sayin. That if you are not Mishan and you do exactly what I told you to do, then you're my shliach. And if you're my shliach, you're representing me, and then he doesn't need to know. The Baal HaChitim doesn't have to know that you're a shliach for me. The fact is, shlucha shalom kamaisai, that you are considered like me, you're my agent, and v'chi baal ba'istami, by giving it to Shimon, it's like giving it to Reuven. Teida, I'll bring you a proof that it's not necessary for the owner of the one who's going to be makne, that he has to know precisely to whom he is making the kinyan. This nun, we learned in a mission, Erech and Daf Chav Dalid, Echad HaMagdish HaChosav, if somebody's Magdish all his property, VeEchad HaMarachas Atzma, or somebody gives his Torah value, he dedicates it to the Beis HaMikdash. In the Torah, Erechin refers to not what the person's market value is in the marketplace being sold as an Eved, but rather, depending on the gender, male or female, depending on the age, every person has a Torah value. For example, a Zohar between the ages of 5 to 20 is worth Eshrim Shekel, and a Keva in the same age bracket is worth only Asarish 10 shkolim. So if somebody gave his Torah of value, he donated to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gizbur, the treasurer, comes to collect. Ein loy, the treasurer cannot collect. B'ksus ishtav loy b'ksus banav. He cannot collect from the clothing of the person's wife, which means by Hegdish, he can't take away the wife's clothing. Or by Erechen, he can't use the clothing as a mashkin, as a security in case the man did not pay what he had promised to give the Erechen to the Beis HaMikdash. He can also not collect from other sources. Eloi Betseva, Dai, Shetzava Lishman. Let's say the owner had given over a piece of material from which he wanted to have a dress made for his wife, and he gave over the material to have it dyed, that the Gizber can't collect from either. V'loy b'sandalim, or with shoes, chadashim the one, shalachim l'shman, that he had asked the shoemaker to make, and he had in mind for them. V'amai, why can't the Gizber collect? Lema, let us say, hachanami. Mi hoidiyoy letzaba, who told the dyer, sheyichne tzavilisha, that he should be maknet to the wife. The only way we can understand that the Gizber can't collect, because it belongs to the wife, but the dyer may not know that he's making this material for a garment for the wife. He may think that this material is going to be used for the husband. Must be, elalav, mishum, damrina, we say, the shluchus they call it, that the husband is doing the shlichus of the wife, even if the wife didn't tell him to be a shlich. But he is being mezakeh it for his wife, and we know a rule that zechiyah mitam shlichus. So therefore, even if nothing was said, since he wants to acquire it on behalf of his wife, he's considered like a shlich of his wife. Ukiyad ishto dami, so the husband is like the hand of his wife, and therefore, when the person who's dying it has in mind to give it to the husband, really he has in mind to give it to the wife. And if it's being given to the wife, the gizbor has no rishus to take from the wife's property. He can only take from the husband's property. So just like we see over there, the person who's dying doesn't have to know who actually it's being died for. Hachanami shluchus l'kaved. So here also the broker is doing the shlichus by chitin and chitin for the Baal Hamois, for Reuven. And Shimon is kiyad Baal Baistam. It's as if without the Baal Hachitim knowing for whom Shimon is actually purchasing the chitin, it comes out that he is the hand of the Baal Bayis, and that's how the Baal chitin is being maknet to the Baal Hamoy. So there I have no problem. My only problem is in the case where he bought, he didn't keep his shlichus, and over there he's not a shlich. Why over there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would they both split in the profit? Amar Rababa, says Rababa, loy. You have no proof from that mission in Erech to your Yesod. As the Sheet of Mekabetzis learns, it's not that Rababa disagrees with the Yesod. He agrees that if a shlich does his shlichus, the owner of the commodity that's being sold doesn't have to know that the shlich represents a mishaleach. He doesn't have to know who the real Baal HaMois is. The broker is considered an agent of the Baal HaMois. But you have no raya from this mission in Erechon. That's what Rav Abba is trying to say. Why? Because the mission of Erechon, I can tell you a different idea. I can tell you it's not that the husband's considered a shliach of the wife. But the pshat is that the person who's dying the material is giving it to the husband. But we have a rule that kol magdish nechasim ein daitok sus ishto yubanov. When he's magdish his nechasim to the base of magdish, he didn't have in mind his sus ishto yubanov, and that's why the gizber can't go that, because that wasn't part of his neder to give to the base of magdish. That's the reason. You have no proof that the reason is because the husband's a shlich of the wife and the owner of the material doesn't have to know to whom he's really making this tzeva for. You have no raya. Maskevel Reb Zeira, what do you mean you have no raya? V'chidai t'shalot amal tefillin. Does a person have in mind to be magdish his tefillin? He has to put on tefillin. Utnan, and we learned, ha-magdish l'chosav ma'alim le'tefillin. If someone is magdish all his property, we assess. The mala means we, shaman, Rashi says, we assess the value of his tefillin. He keeps his tefillin because he has to do the mitzvah tefillin. But he's going to have to, all his assets belong to the base of Migdash. He doesn't have anything. He's penniless, but he's going to have to borrow money to redeem his tefillin and give the money to the base of Migdash. And he certainly didn't have in mind to give it. And yet, Hegdash is able to get the tefillin. Amale Abaye says, what's the comparison? Yes, I hold Dati Shalom HaTfil. This person who's being Magdish all his property to the base of Magdish has in mind his Tfil also. HaMagdish Nechosef Sover Mitzvaka Avidna. The Svar is, because a person who's Magdish is Nechosef to the base of Magdish, thinks I'm doing a real big mitzvah. And part of that real big mitzvah, I have a choice. Should I put on Tfilin or should I do the mitzvah of giving all my Nechosef to the base of Magdish? I'll go with the mitzvah of giving all my Nechosef to the base of Magdish. Abad Ve'ein Dati Shalom
Machsus Ishto Yubanav Mishum Eva. But he knows that if he's going to tell his wife and children that clean out your drawers, all your clothing has to go to the basement, because this will cause ill will in his family. So that Avada, he didn't have Das to be Magdish to the Beis HaMikdash. So Memela, it will come out that Rabbi Abba is correct, that there is no rye over here to the concept of shlichas, that the person who's being makne doesn't have to know who the real Baal HaMois is. You have no rye. Rabbi Abba is correct. It would seem that he doesn't have in mind, he has in mind the tefillin, but he doesn't have in mind Sosishtu Rabbanav. Maskala Rav Oishia had a question again. A final question on Rav Abba, and Rav Oishia wants to say that the proof is a good proof, and Rav Abba's question is not a good question. Why? V'haloi chai ve'erech in Shanakat. What did we learn before? Echad hamarech es atzmai. We didn't only learn a case of a magdish nechasav, we learned a case of someone who gives his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash. So over there, utnan, we learned chayvi erechim a mashkenai son. Let's say he doesn't have money to pay, so we take a mashken. And the din is, as Rashi says, against his will. And even if he stipulated and he said, I'm giving my Torah value, but I don't want any mashken to be taken. Doesn't matter. Once you say I'm giving my Torah value, then the mishken can take from you in any way possible. They have a lien on your property. So we see that v'chidaita shel adam al atzmai l'mashkenai, did a person think on his own Torah value that he's going to have to give a mashken? He could be screaming, I don't want to give a mashken, and yet we take it. So we see that even though he doesn't have in mind, yet Hegdish has a right to make a lien on his property and take it. So therefore, the question will be, why can't the Gizbor take from his wife's property, even if he didn't have in mind? The only answer must be that he has given it to his wife. It's hers already, because he's a shliach for his wife. It doesn't have to do with what he had in mind. But l'chayr, now we have a good proof to our yesod that the person who's making the die doesn't have to know that it's for the wife, and yet it winds up for the wife because the baal is a shliach of his wife. L'chayr, we have a good raya. Elam Rababa, Rababa has the last word, and Rababa changes, but Rababa says, I'll tell you a different reason why it's no raya. Because kol magnish nechasav, whoever is magnish is nechasav to the Beis HaMikdash, nasa kimi shehikna lang sus ishtoi ubonav mikara. Really, I'll tell you, he's not acting here as a shliach. Really, it's going to the husband. Since he's not acting as a shliach, therefore, you have no proof to your whole yisod. Says Rabbi Abba, I might agree with you, so anyway, but again, my purpose here, Rabbi Abba, is to see, do we have a clear proof from this Mishnah in Erechin? So I could tell you, I'm still not happy with the proof. Why? Because, as the Rajba says, even if I don't speak it out, but Lev Bezdin Masna, the Bezdin understands that this is the Anan Sadi, that this is what is in his heart. And therefore, you don't even need a kinyan here. Normally, you need kinyanim. But here, the Rajba says, because by his wife and family, the only reason he always needed a kinyan is to show gemiras das. By his wife and family, he certainly shows gemiras das. So the idea is that a person who's magdish is nechasim, as he's telling the person to make the die, he has in his mind that this dyed material, I am being maknid immediately to my wife. I'm not that I'm a shliach of her, but rather I'm giving her through a kinyan, which it's enough, my gemiras das in my mind, that it becomes hers. So memela, since it doesn't involve shlichas, but rather I am giving over to her this property, the gizmor can't come and take from my wife's property, from my children's property, because it already is considered that it belongs to her. So you have no proof to our whole discussion here of shlichas.